The Lord is great. He is good stuff. So I want to welcome our Facebook friends. Thank you so much for tuning in, for viewing here today. Got something awesome for you. You're going to be blessed. God wants to do some great things in your life, and don't ever forget that. Amen. So CLCC, we're here. We made it. And making it's half the battle, isn't it? Whew! We can just get here. Some Sundays it can be tough. I'm not gonna lie. Some Sundays it's tough. But when I think about how good the Lord is, and I'm like, God, I gotta spend some more time with you. And you know, we can always spend time with him by ourselves. That's never an option. We can always put on a CD, you know, be in our car, at home, in our quiet place, in our prayer closet. We can always do that. But there's something about when you come together in unity and experience him together, there's a power and a presence there that you can't get by yourself. It's so true. It's so good because we encourage each other. We're like, yes, keep going for it. Keep going after him. He loves you. It's like ironing sharpened iron when we're in together in his presence. It's so good. And the Lord loves it when brothers dwell together in unity. And sisters as well. He loves that. He's like, yes, these are my kids. We're getting together. We're joining together. Did you know that there are hundreds, if not millions of churches right now meeting right here at the same time we are? And they're all worshiping him together. Think about that for a minute. There are hundreds, if not millions of churches right now meeting together, and we are worshiping with them to worship our Father. That's awesome. It's not just this one little church, because we can have that mindset. We can have that mindset where like, oh, it's just us. It's just Sunday morning. No. There's other churches. Pastor Kurt's at another church right now. He's ministering. I've got friends that are pastors at other churches. You guys might know of other pastors at other churches meeting right now, and we're doing the exact same thing. Worshiping our Father because he is so good and so gracious. Don't feel like you're alone. You're not. The Lord is with you. And I don't know that's for someone here in this house or someone on Facebook, but you are not alone. There are people surrounding you, praying for you. You might even not know who they are. Maybe the Lord has put somebody, on your heart. They have no, and I know God does that to me. He'll put people on my heart I really don't know. And I'm like, Lord, I'm praying for that person. I don't know what's going on in their life, but I'm praying for them right now. He might be doing that to some of you guys today, either on Facebook or in this house. He wants you to know that you're not alone. He wants to support you in whatever's going on. Amen. Today we're going to talk about relationships. So as part of our mission, relationships is you are important, valued, and loved. Come on, somebody. Amen. You are value. You have value. And not because you have a big brain, or not because you look really fly, or really slick, or beautiful, you know? You're valued. Not because, the world will say you're valued because you got money. Oh, you're valued because you have money. Oh, you have success. You're valued because you're amazing. You look beautiful. You're valued because you have perfect nails. And I don't. So, the world will say all these values because of what you've done. But in the kingdom, we're valued because of who we are. It's who we are that gives us value. Doesn't matter whatever you're doing in life, whether you're flipping burgers at McDonald's, which is a good job, whether it's doing things on the turnpike, which is a good job, whether it's being in ministry, which is a good job, whether it's working in a bank, that's a good job, whether it's being a professional athlete, that's a good job. Doesn't matter what you do in life, you are valued because you are the king's son or the king's daughter. That's where your identity is. Church, if we could get a hold of that revelation more and more, like I said, I'm still working on it. I'm not there. If I can get more of that, I'm going to realize that it doesn't matter what I do. He still loves me. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. There's no fear. Because he knows me. And I know him, and he loves me. Some of us grew up with maybe fathers that were a little bit heavy-handed in discipline. Some of us might have grew up with fathers that were not even there. And some of us, I remember my father, I would do something and you want to go hide. You don't want your dad to catch you. With my dad. He was a big guy, you know, and you know, I got spanked as a child and I believe in that. That's okay. And that's the way I was raised, and you know, maybe I should have used a few more spankings. It's probably true. There's a few things I did. I didn't get caught for it. I probably should have been disciplined for that. It's true. It's okay. It's all right. My mom probably knows some things. She doesn't know some things about me. I should have been disciplined more. So, but I would always go hide. I'll go hide. I'm like, oh, he doesn't see me. He doesn't find me. Can't discipline me. Unfortunately, that's not the right way to do with Jesus. We see Adam and Eve hid when they sinned. They think, well, if they don't, he doesn't know where we are, we can't get the discipline. But how many of you know, when we've done wrong, run to the Father. Don't run away from him. And maybe you're like, I don't know, I don't like discipline, I like punishment. No one does. No one likes a rebuke. It hurts. It's not fun. But when we run to the Father, he gives us the acceptance of who we are. He accepts the wrong that we did. Because when you wander away from the Lord, when you try to run from him, you run out of fear and out of shame and out of condemnation. And that's what the devil loves to put on his people, puts on God's people. He loves to put that on people. Christians or not. If you run to him, he takes away all shame and all fear. So you can live in freedom. Come on, somebody. You can live in freedom when you run to him. Because he forgives you of all that junk, of whatever it was that you did. He forgives you because his blood covers it. And you might be like, man, well, I don't know, I've done some pretty rotten things. What I have to say to you, if you feel like you've done some wrong things or some things you can't be forgiven for, that's not true. Because his blood shed for you covers all sin, no matter how great, no matter how small. It covers everything. Amen and amen. Well, that wasn't part of my sermon. That's just a freebie. But it was good. It was good. Come on. Come on. When he does that, he wants to talk to someone specifically or a few people specifically. And, you know, it's okay. It's all right. God talks to people specifically. The woman with the issue of blood, he was going to heal. He was on the way to Jairus' house to go heal his daughter who was dying. And yet a woman with the issue of blood came up and was healed there. And he stopped for a moment to acknowledge that. When he does things, he wants to stop and highlight someone. He wants to acknowledge someone specifically. He's so good at that. Even in the midst of crowds, he's so good at pointing someone out, at highlighting somebody. Tell you what, I've had the last 2 weekends, I've been been running pretty high on things that the Lord is doing. I was at a men's conference 2 weeks ago, which you guys know about that. Pastor Steve and Jeff. Hey, Jeff. And Pastor Kern and a friend of his, Scott, went down to a men's conference. It was good. It was good. The Lord met us. It was so good. Jeff, did you want to share anything? I know I'm putting you on the spot. You don't have to. Okay. Well, thank you. Good time. I didn't keep Jeff too awake with my snoring because we slept in the same bunkhouse. So he was very blessed. Unlike some other people that have slept in the same room with me are not so blessed because I kept them up all night. apparently. So I'm glad that me and Jeff, we can be bunk buddies again. Amen. Amen. Pastor Steve, I don't know about him. He's such a light sleeper. He might not get the sleep he needs to carry on. So, but it's okay. It's all right. Lord help us. Lord help us. So I was at that retreat with Bob Muncy's church was hosting that in Delaware. It's a good time. Had some great people there, some great men of God, some great things God did. It's all in all, and the theme of it was behold. That was the theme. And a lot of things went with different, a lot of topics with the behold and things like that were going on. This is a wonderful time in His presence, getting in relationships with people, good stuff. And then I went to a conference this last weekend. It was called the Conference of the Supernatural with Georgia and Winnie Banoff. And we had some great speakers there. Had some people that you might know. Jeremy Riddle was there as a worship leader. It was great. It was great. I play a lot of his videos and the encounter nights and things like that. Just, I loved his genuine heart for the Lord. Loved how genuine he was. He's like, I just want to have time with the Father. And that's really what it came down to. It's like, and even though there are, you know, a few, I think it was about, I think about 2,000, maybe 3,000 certain nights. Even though it was so many people there, he's like, I just want have everyone have a time with the Father. And I love that about Jeremy Riddle. We also had some other people there that were great. Heidi Baker was there. And then Todd White was there. And just awesome times. Awesome times hearing from great men and women of God about what they're doing and how they want to help us and partner with us to do what God's doing in our hearts. And I love Heidi Baker. I've never heard her in person till this weekend, and I was like, wow, I loved how genuine she was. I just loved how genuine she was. And then Todd White shared, and I loved how genuine he was. It's so refreshing when you find someone that's genuine. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, we see people from afar on TV and different things. And, you know, I mean, well, they have great words and great things. But when you actually come up close to someone and you feel like you're actually hearing their heart, it's a different story. There's a connection that's built there. You're like, all right, Lord. Not putting anyone on a pedestal. I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for what you're using them to do. And challenging me and empowering me to do the will of you, Father. I mean, when Todd White was sharing, I was just like, he was sharing kind of his testimony. And I'm just like, I'm a mess. I don't cry too much, but I do cry enough. And I'm just like, tears are just streaming down my eyes the whole time while he's sharing about his testimony, what God did for him and for his wife and his kids. And I was just like, oh, it was so good. It just got wrecked by God. Just got wrecked by God. It was so good. It was just so good. So I'm all fired up, ready to go. I'm a mess, and that's okay. But one thing I will say is that I am ruined for Him. I'm ruined for Him. Be ruined for Jesus. Even from a young life, I knew I was ruined from Him. There wasn't anything I could do that would give me more joy than being with Him, regardless of whether I want to do my own thing or not. And I tried. I tried to do my own thing. Not for very long because it wasn't good. This wasn't fulfilling at all. Be ruined for Him. Say, God, ruin me. Ruin me that I can't do anything else but only what you'd have me do. Only what you'd have. Ruin me that way I will never get any satisfaction unless it's for you and for your kingdom. And from that comes ultimate satisfaction. There is no place I would rather be than in His presence. That song is still so good, even today. It's so true. And you might be saying, Van, well, I'm not quite, I mean, that sounds great, but I like to do this and this and that. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with entertainment. There's nothing wrong with those things that you like to do. I mean, I like to fish. I like to play golf. I even like to play video games. I like those types of things. But there is something about those things that do not give me the fulfillment, do not help me receive the fullness of what God has for me when I'm doing His will. something about that. It's just very different. And it's in how we were made. So I want to challenge you today by that. Be ruined for Him. Be ruined for Him. Now I'm actually going to get to my text. So now I'm actually going to preach my sermon. You're like, wow, you all that? He didn't even preach your sermon? Yep, yep. That was all free. This one cost you right here, so don't worry. Get out your checkbooks. I'm kidding. One thing I did want to talk about today, I'm not going to talk long, because God shared some other things. But I want to say about one thing, ask you a question. And this question is, are you selling yourself short? Are you selling yourself short? Or you could say it this way, are you showing yourself short? Well, are you? Well, Van, what do you mean? Okay, let me give you an example. Since I work in a bank, I like to give bank examples. And usually, we all have somewhat of money. Maybe some have a little bit more than others. I wish I had a little bit more myself, but you know, we all have some money. When you go to the bank, and you have a $1,000 bill. Now, they don't make $1,000 bills anymore, but you can still find them around. So, just saying, there is a real bill called a $1,000 bill. So, if you have a $1,000 bill, alright? I'm sure you're happy. I would take a few more of these myself. A $1,000 bill. And you go to the bank, and you're like, I would like change for this, alright? I want change for this $1,000 bill. So, the teller at the window is like, okay, sure, we can change it for you. And so she starts dealing out money to you. And then you get the money back and you realize she gave you change, but not the correct amount. She gave you $400. Would you say something? You darn tootin', right? You'd say something. I'm telling you that. You'd say something like, wait, hey, wait a minute. I gave you $1,000. I should have $1,000 back in hundreds or twenties or tens. Hopefully not ones, because that's a lot of ones. But hopefully, you know, I need about $1,000. When you sell or show yourself short, you are actually accepting the $400 back instead of the $1,000. Come on, somebody. Come on. When you're showing the Father, are you shorting Him as well? Oh, we just got deep there. We just got serious now. Because if you're going to sell yourself or show yourself short, you're going to show God short. And when you show God short, you're calling Him a liar. Whoa, man. I didn't call God a liar. Hold on a second. I ain't calling God a liar. And I don't mean that to condemn anyone. I don't mean that to be harsh. But it's truth. If we are showing ourselves short or selling ourselves short, then we're saying God is short. Let me give you an example. The blood of Jesus covers all sins, correct? Covers all sins. But He can't cover that sin. He can't cover that sin. That sin's too great. That one He can't forgive. It was too small, maybe. That wasn't what He talked about in the Bible. He didn't forgive that sin. If you're not willing to say He can forgive all sins, then you're calling Him a liar and selling yourself short and showing yourself short. And with doing that, you're showing God short. Is God so big? Is our God big? Can't He supply all of our needs? Isn't it true? That's what His Word says. He will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. He's going to keep us. But when you say, well, this problem's a little bit too big for God. Maybe it's something with family, friends, something with finances, something about your job, a boss. Maybe it's something that's going on. Maybe it's something in the church. Well, God can't quite do all that now. So that's a big thing. It's a big thing. Didn't he say he's going to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory? And if we don't believe that, we're showing ourselves short, and then in time, we're actually saying, no, God, you're a liar. I mean, let's make it even more personal. You ready? What has God spoke over you? What words has he given to you directly? What word has he given to you? Jeff got a word at the men's retreat. And it was a pretty good word. I thought it was pretty cool. Do you mind if I share that? If not, that's okay. That's fine. Are you sure? Okay. So, a word was given him that he would be a seer. And Jeff's response could be, I'm going to give you what he could say. You're like, well, I don't know about that. That's a pretty high calling. That's a pretty crazy thing to think about that. Didn't God give it to him? Didn't God tell him about that? So if he doesn't walk in that, he's selling himself short. And he's showing God a liar. We need, as a church, to show ourselves like the Father shows us. We need to stop selling ourselves short so we stop selling or showing God short in our lives. And to those that are around us. Because it's a sad day when we start showing ourselves short. Because in Acts 5, it talks about two people that sold themselves short or showed themselves short. It was Ananias and Sapphira. This story is not a story, I don't believe it's a story about judgment. I believe this story is to show us we shouldn't sell ourselves short. We shouldn't show ourselves short. Because what they did was they shorted the disciples. Even Peter said, you could have given whatever you wanted to the disciples. You can give whatever you wanted to the apostles. You sold a piece of land, you could have given a portion of it, and that would have been fine. But because something in them said, no, I want to be dishonest, I want to do that, I want to either look good or the enemy deceive them. Even Peter says the enemy has deceived you. You sold yourself short. You showed yourself short. And because of that, you suffered. And it's sad. It's sad. Because the world is dying and in need of a Savior. And when we show ourselves short, we're giving a bad or an incomplete version of Jesus. A watered-down version of Jesus. When you drink something, who in here likes soft drinks? Anybody like soft drinks? No? Maybe? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit, maybe one or two hands. How many of you like coffee? There we go. So coffee is the life-giving juice in this house, apparently. Okay. So you have your coffee. And you have your grounds, and maybe you like it a little bit weak and a little strong, you know, depending on how much it is. But what if you were to take the coffee, put the grounds in, and you want a little cup about this big. Just a little cup about this big. Nothing major, but a little cup this big. What if you put that, you know, you just want to make something this big. What if you put the grounds in there to be able to make just about that enough cup, just the perfect amount. But then after that, you put a 5-gallon jar of water in there. Wouldn't that water it down quite a bit? Would it even be coffee at that point? I don't know of anyone that would want a 5-gallon jug of water and a little tiny, some little grounds and just a cup that big. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And this is not a message to condemn anybody. I'm not here to condemn. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you, that's good. That's the Holy Spirit. But I'm not here to condemn, to point fingers and say, you need to do this, you need to know. I'm saying that God loves us and we need to stop showing ourselves short. We need to stop that. Because we're suffering when we do that. We're not walking in His fullness. We're not walking in what He has for us and the victory. We're not walking in His presence. We're walking in fear and in condemnation and anxiety. We're walking in all those things that can plague us. Where we're not walking in His fullness. That's what I'm trying to say, church. That's what He's trying to say today. He wants us to walk in fullness with Him. Stop selling ourselves short. Stop showing ourselves short. Because He's so good. There's different seasons, don't we have, don't we? Different seasons of life. I'm in a season of life where I have small kids. It's wonderful when they all behave. It's not when they don't. Come on. Come on. Some of y'all been there. Some of y'all aren't up there yet, and you'll understand when you get there, you know. It's a rough time. It's not the easiest time to corral. It's like herding cats sometimes, and that's not fun either. So I'm just saying. It's tough. I'm in that season. And there are joys and not. I don't enjoy, you know, disciplining my kids. That's no fun. Because I'm like, why don't you just do the right thing? Why can't you just do what you're supposed to do? Can't you just do what you're told? Without talking back. Oh, yeah. Some of the parents are like, oh, yeah, the talking back. Oh, yeah, that's not fun. That's not fun. Yeah. Yeah. And then you have to discipline them because you don't want them talking back because that's a bad principle to learn at an early age and apply that in life. Let's just put it like that. That is a bad thing to learn in life, you know? All the way to adulthood. That's not a good lesson to have. And I'm at that season right now. And maybe your season might be your... You don't have any kids anymore. They're all grown up and you have grandkids. Great. It's a good season. I'll get there one day. But my hair doesn't turn all gray before my kids get to it, you know? It doesn't all fall out. You know? It's different seasons. But we have to make sure that whatever season that we're in, we're not selling ourselves short of who He is. That we're not showing ourselves short because He's so good. He's just so good no matter what's going on in our seasons, regardless. Maybe it might be a good season for you. Maybe life's good for you right now. You're like, yes, I got money in the bank, I got a good paycheck, got that second house, you know, got that lakefront property, I got that beachfront property. Some of y'all laughing like, oh Lord, I love some beachfront property. I love some an extra lake house. Oh Lord, Jesus. I wouldn't mind that either. Nice place to go relax. Maybe my cabin in the woods, you know. Or that extra 60 acres of land where I go deer hunt, you know. It's for you, Mike. It's for you. You know. Or for me, I can just build that 5-acre pond where I can just go fishing all the time I want. Suck with big old bass and catfish. Man, that sounds good. Maybe that's your season. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Maybe your season is maybe it's just okay. You know, nothing's too crazy. Nothing's too good. You know, it's the 9-to-5, the grind, and you know, do what you do. Maybe go home, relax a little bit, then eat, and go to bed. Wake up. Do the same thing over and over and over again. And there's nothing, you know, your car works, everything's good, you got some payments you're making, and you're like, alright, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Nothing's too bad. Or maybe you're in the wilderness season. That's tough. That's a tough place to be. Where things aren't all good. Maybe it's things, family's a mess. Maybe job is a mess. Maybe there's a lot of uncertainty. Maybe things are breaking down on you more. You're like, God, what's going on? Maybe it's tough. But it doesn't matter what season or what place you're in, because God is there. Because God is there and He loves you and wants you to experience Him in fullness. Wants to have you experience Him. Even though, I mean, goodness, the wilderness is a tough time. I've been there. It's not fun. Different seasons in my life. But if you're in the wilderness today, and maybe for you it might be a tough time with different things, doesn't matter what it could be. You're like, God, You sustain me. You help me. And He's always faithful to never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. And He wants to show Himself strong in the situations. Because remember, the wilderness will still happen. The wilderness season still comes. But how many of you know that the wilderness will end one day? That Sunday will come. Just like Good Friday was there, the day that our Lord died. Saturday happened, the morning. But then Sunday came about, and our Savior was raised. Come on. There's a time that wilderness is going to end, and you're going to walk in the fullness, in the healing, in the things that God wants to do in your life. He's going to do it, but you have to sometimes stay in the wilderness for a little while. It's not easy. It's not fun. Let your trauma in the wilderness become your testimony. Let your trauma in the wilderness become your testimony. And some of us have already been through some wilderness times. We're like, thank God I'm not back there. But make sure you show your testimony in those times. Because out of that testimony is going to show who God is. Out of that testimony is going to show how good He is. And you're not going to show yourself short, because when you're showing your Father, He's going to show all goodness and all grace, and you're going to overflow that in your life. And when you overflow that in your life, it gets into your area of influence. And when it gets to your area of influence, things around you change. People around you change, because it's not you, it's God who's doing something great in you, and you can see the miraculous miracles of what He's going to do in your life and in those around you. Come on, somebody. He's going to do it. Let's all just stand here for a moment. And we're just going to play a CD. Well, YouTube. Whatever you want to call it. Media. We're going to play it. Sorry. Data. I didn't say cassettes or 8-tracks. So I'm not. I remember that. I remember the cassettes, but not the 8-tracks. That's a little back then. What I just want to have us do today is answer that question. Are you showing yourself short? To your family, to your friends, to your workers, teammates, to your church. And today is a decision. If you are, and you're not walking in the fullness of Him, I mean, I'm not saying that you're not a Christian, I'm not saying that you're not serving Him, I'm not saying you haven't surrendered, but maybe there's some different spots in your life where, like, I'm not quite surrendered in that area. I don't want to give that to You, God, because that's mine. And if we have those places, in our areas, in our life, we need to give it all to Him. Because then we can walk in His fullness. And we won't show ourselves short. We won't be getting $400 back from that $1,000 that we had before. We won't be showing a world of watered down Christianity. But we're called to be Christ-like. I'm not saying we're perfect, because Lord and heaven knows that I'm not perfect. Not saying we have to be perfect. But what I'm saying is showing the love of God that is perfect. Showing our Savior who is perfect, who is awesome and powerful. Showing Him who is great and greatly to be praised, because He deserves it all. He deserves it all. So I want you to answer that question as the video is playing. Some of you might know the song, some of you might not. But I want you to talk to Him while this is going on. And say, Lord, is there something I need to give You? Is there something I need to do? Because I have not given You everything. And I don't want to show myself short. I don't want to show You short, Father, because You're awesome. So let's just go ahead and play that right now. Jesus, I hold hands, Jesus. You made a way. You unlocked these chains. And here in Your presence, strongholds break. Free by the love You gave. Come on, sing it out. You deserve it all. showing ourselves short, Father, and ultimately showing you short, God, in our lives, in our family, in our friends, Father, in our communities, oh God. We're so sorry. And Lord, we say thank you, Father, for showing us that we can live in fullness, that we can show you strong as you are. We can show our Heavenly Father strong in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of wilderness, in the midst of problems and situations, oh God. Whether we're dealing with them, or whether our friend or brother or loved one or co-worker is dealing with them where they are. Father, we thank you, Father, that we can speak life through the mighty name of Jesus into any situation. That situation has to change. It has to change because we're declaring your name in it. Father, for you bring truth to every situation, O God, because you are truth, O God. We thank you, Father, that from this day forward, we're going to not sell ourselves short. We're not going to show ourselves short, but we're going to experience the fullness of your love, the fullness of your grace, the fullness of your mercy, the fullness of you, so we may be able to show a dying world, a dying and desperate world, how much you love them and how awesome you are, O God. We thank you for this, O God. We praise your name. We thank you for showing, for meeting with us, Father. Lord, we're expecting you, even today, to start meeting with us in a greater way. We're expecting you to meet with us, even today, in a greater way in our walks with you, that you will show us more of your Father's love, that you will show us where you are stronger than what we thought, that you will show us how big you really are and confirm that the Bible is not just some book, but it's a book of history and it's a book of your word given to us. That it's your love letter to us that we can receive it and we can even boast in it. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our hearts today. Let us not go back to our mundane, but let us go into the miraculous. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just want to encourage everyone, if you would like prayer for anything else that's really just, you would say, man, I just want some extra prayer, I'll be up here at the altar for you. I just want to remind you, Thursday nights and